When I think about putting off my old self, to me, I think about shedding these habits. If I'm quick to anger or impatient, or if I'm negative, those are very self-driven habit. To me, putting off my old self requires allowing a level of vulnerability. I would have to ask God to help me to do something different. Mm-hmm. And anytime I need to do something different than what I'm inclined to do, that's where this comes into me. Like, I have to put off what I would normally do, say, or be, and put on what Christ would do. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Romy and Jan, and we're looking at Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, which teaches us how to put off the old self. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture. So visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the words put off to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and from each other. I hope you find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. God, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for your word and for women who seek you through your word and who you promise to bless and allow them to find you. God, I ask that you would be with us in this time and in this place, that our work and our words would be glorifying to you, and that by the end of our time, we would have a little bit of a better understanding of you, of ourselves, and of each other. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Holly. I am always here. I'm here again. And I have with me my friends Romy and Jan, and it's just the three of us this morning, so it's an intimate group.
Yes.
And we are talking about Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 24, where Paul talks about putting off the old self. And so, just a little bit about myself. I am married for over 20 years. I attend a Presbyterian church. I have two teenage children. And that's it. What else do I want to say about myself? I mean, I could say a lot more, but that'll sum it up well enough. How about you, Jan? Tell us a little bit about you.
I grew up in Philadelphia. I've been in Bucks County for about 25 years now. I have two young adult sons, and I attend the First Baptist Church of Langhorne. And that's my story.
That's a good one.
In a nutshell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Romy. I've been married over 20 years also. I think it's coming up 24. I have a freshman in college and a senior in high school, and originally grew up in New York around Manhattan, but have been in the Bucks County area for about 20 years now.
And you attend?
And I attend an evangelical free church.
Yes. I like to always share the denominations. Nice. I don't think that a lot of denominational doctrine happens in these conversations. Mm-hmm. But that's why I want to share the denominations, because I want people to understand and see that the Bible crosses over any differences that we might have between our church buildings, between our church doctrines, and that the Word of God, if we're seeking after the Word of God, that's all that really matters. That we understand the blood of Christ and we seek after the Lord through His Holy Spirit and His Word. I like to just share that because I don't want anyone ever to think, oh, this is a Presbyterian show, or this is a Baptist show, or this is a Catholic show. This is a Jesus show. You know, this is a program where we talk about our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word revealed. And it really transcends denomination and generation and a lot of other diversity that we have in this group, which is what I love, that we are a diverse group, but there's a sameness to us. So,
well, and it might be worth sharing, this is Romy again, that I did grow up in the Catholic Church. So it's only within the last 5 years that I've been exploring other Christian denominations.
Yeah, so. I think that's interesting. I mean, I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I attend an EPC Presbyterian church now. I mean, I don't know. It's funny because I think a lot of times, you attend the church that ends up being where you feel like you're a fit, and you don't, maybe not, you might not even really understand the denominational doctrines at all ever, or for not for a long time. I mean, think about that. How long do you have to be in a church to really unpack the bylaws? You know what I mean? Like, who really does that?
Right.
And so I think we understand our denominations by what's preached from the pulpit and by what we experience in our small groups when we have a Bible study.
Definitely.
You know, we at our church, we just made a denominational change within Presbyterianism. And that was the first time I've been going to that church for almost 20 years. That was the first time I had really explored what the doctrinal differences were, you know? So, I mean, I think we know some of the big ones, most people really don't.
Right.
Like, I love the Baptist, you know, I love your Baptist church. I love all Baptist church. I say this too many times. It's not probably funny anymore, but I always say I'm a Presbyterian, but I identify as a Baptist because when I go into the Baptist church, I feel alive. I'm like, yes, they're moving.
Yeah.
Their hands are moving. Their bodies are moving. They say amen. And in my heart, I want to do that. But you know, the Presbyterians are called the frozen chosen. We don't move. We don't say things. So those are differences that can make a comfort level. It's not part of our doctrine that we don't move. It's just part of the culture. Like, and lots of Presbyterians do move, but you know, it's just where you feel comfortable and where you feel like God is connecting you. As long as that church is preaching the Bible, and that salvation is through Christ alone,
that's it.
By faith alone, through grace alone, then you're okay.
Yeah.
And you know, even within denominations, people, you know, before we left this particular part of our denomination, we weren't following their rules because we didn't believe in the direction that they were going. They were going in a different direction. We held on to the tenets of the faith that I just said, through Christ alone, by faith alone, and through grace alone. And so sometimes denominations aren't even totally in line with what their big D denominations say. So I like to talk about that a little tiny bit at the beginning of the program. This is more than we usually do, but the reason for it is because diversity finds sameness at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
And I love that. Okay. So we're going to talk about putting off the old self, which is a phrase I lifted out of Ephesians 4:22-24. So Jan, can I put you on the spot and ask you just to read that small section of scripture for us?
Sure. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
Okay. So there's, you know, it's there are some passages that are somewhat easy to process. This one has a lot in it, and I really felt like it was worth a deep dive. So let's start at a shallow level and just take an interpretation of what is your interpretation of the way we put off our old self based on what Jan just read?
I went from it from how we think about things, because I truly believe, and I think we'd all agree, that everything starts with a thought. You know, every temptation, every desire, every sin starts with a thought. So when I read it, I came from it from that place of turning our thoughts off from our human flesh and what our earthly desires are, and focusing it back to God's truth and God's word about how we should be viewing things or seeing things or feeling about things. And if you do that, then your whole life can change.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And bring you to that freedom that he wants for you.
Yeah.
So since you said it, tell me, I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you able to do that on your own?
Oh, no.
Say more about that.
Heck no. You know, I think that's where we have to, I'm going to use the word tap into the Holy Spirit that lives within us to find that strength to do that. And the way we do that is, in my mind, through prayer. And I think that by praying about it and recognizing what the truth is, that is where our strength comes from.
I agree. Tell me what you think about putting off the old self, Jan.
Well, I kind of zoomed in on the word in verse 22, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So my former manner of life, I never saw as corrupt. Mm-hmm. When I was living it, and I was
right.
I mean, there was nothing scandalous about my life, but I certainly never saw it as corrupt.
Sure.
But the word sees it as corrupt.
Well, what do you think about that? Because that's actually...
Well, it was corrupt. I now know it was corrupt. I didn't know it then, but I now know it was corrupt.
Well, what do you think that... What do you... Say more about the word corrupt. Like, use other words to describe that. If somebody's listening and they're like, well, how do I know if my life is corrupt?
I actually looked for synonyms.
Mm.
I asked mm-hmm. myself the same question. Mm-hmm. Faithless. Mm-hmm. Fraudulent. Pretending you're a Christian, but you're not really a Christian.
Right.
So going through the motions.
Right. Double-minded. Mm. Flaky. Now, I just remembered.
Go ahead, you first, because there's a word that has become synonymous with corruption.
Okay, you go ahead, I'm done.
I mean, I think about politics, you know, and power.
Yeah.
People talk about corruption and power mm-hmm. in politics mm-hmm. all the time. And what that means is, if I had to define that, I think that when I hear that, I think, oh, they've lost their way. They went into politics maybe to do something good, but they've lost their way and now they're seeking wrong things.
Yeah.
Which is actually a good analogy.
Well, the power does corrupt.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what the
power. Yeah, there's that phrase, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And mm-hmm. I guess we were, because we thought we had power over our lives.
Yeah.
We thought it was about us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were corrupt. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But anyway, that's...
And wrong-minded. Yeah.
Right.
That's good. So we put off our old self by then focusing, if I'm summing up, and tell me if I get it right. If I'm summing up what you're saying, we put off our old self by focusing less on ourselves and more on the Lord, His ways, His words. Yeah. That's hard. Again, not possible on our own. That's a, you know, when we try to do it on our own, that's legalism.
Right.
And we're just trying to follow rules and get it right. And we don't. And then we're frustrated and we try to do it again. And we can't. So that's good. When I think about putting off my old self, to me, I think about shedding. I love what you said about thoughts, because you're right. Thoughts come first. Mm-hmm. But I also think about shedding these habits of, for me, they might be, if I'm quick to anger or impatient or if I'm negative, if I think the worst of someone instead of trying to see the best, like Philippians 4:8, whatever's true, whatever's good, whatever's noble.
Mm.
You know, just those, and of course I think of those are very self-driven habits. They're habits that I've adopted maybe by means of protecting myself or by means of operating in a world that's broken. I've learned how to defend myself in those ways. And to me, putting off my old self requires allowing a level of vulnerability.
Right.
Because I can be a hard-shelled person sometimes if I feel unsafe in a relationship or an environment or in a situation, or if I feel unsure. That's a way that I can think of off the top of my head that I would have to behave, you know, ask God to help me to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I need to do something different than what I'm inclined to do, that's where this comes into me. Like, I have to put off, I have to shed what I think about this cloak, you know, shed the old cloak of whatever, the coat of what I would normally do, say, or be in that situation, and put on what Christ would do, say, or be in that situation. And that's almost always dramatically different, like what I would do and what I know he would do. And I've been doing this, you know, faith gig for a long time. It's not that I don't know what he would do.
Right.
Just that I don't always immediately respond in the way that he would. And so to me, there have been many times that I have to really pause and say, I am not reflecting Jesus Christ in this situation. This is me and all myself. Mm-hmm. And that no Jesus is coming through here.
Right.
And so for me, and you're right, 100% right, both of you, that it's a corruption of myself and that it springs from my thoughts.
I like that word you used. I like the word vulnerable. Are you really becoming vulnerable when you just give up all your power and say, I don't have any power here? Just like you would be on an operating table, you're vulnerable. You're giving all the power away from away to this doctor, and you're trusting this doctor completely.
Yeah,
right. So I like that word, vulnerable. You're trusting completely in him.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'll tell you a story of complete trust. A couple weeks ago, I had to make a business trip, and this, of course, I'll probably write a blog on it because it was so impactful. I was able to see immediately the faith parallel to what we're talking about. And it's not off topic, because we are talking about how we do that and the faith we have to have in Christ to put him on as our guard and our worldly reflection, how we exist in the world. So I was flying, which I don't hate, but I don't always love. I'm not usually a nervous flyer, but this was a weird trip because it was a small plane. So takeoff was not smooth. I don't know enough about flying to know if a bigger aircraft feels more smooth, if I was feeling those bumps because it was a small aircraft. But I remember during takeoff thinking, is this a new pilot? Like, what's happening? Why are we so wobbly in the takeoff? We got up to cruising altitude and I let it out of my mind. And then a few hours later, it was time to land. And it happened to be snowing where we were landing. I have a nephew who's a pilot. And he explained to me during his training, a terrifying training exercise, which is called an instruments only landing, which means they're not able, they don't see. And I don't know how they train that. I don't know if they block so that you can't see and you have to use your instruments. I'm not sure how they simulate that in training. But as we began to make our descent, I realized there was no visibility, none. Even at night, you can see some lights. This was a total whiteout. And I was waiting. You know how when you're flying you're in a cloud, it's just white out there.
Yeah.
And so we're coming down, making our descent, and I'm waiting and waiting for the ground to appear or anything that's recognizable that looks like the world instead of a complete whiteout. Nothing. I hear the landing gear go down. It's all completely whiteout. When I tell you, it was a split second between when we could see the ground and when we were on it.
Right.
It was intense. And it was long enough descent that even in the moment, I thought, okay, whatever doubts I had about this pilot, I just have to have faith in him, because clearly he cannot see. And he's coming in for a landing. He's bringing our plane back down to the ground, and he can't see. And as I'm trusting him, he's trusting his instruments. There's a lot of faith that's happening in this landing scenario. And it was not lost on me, even in that moment, that's the faith that we have to have in our Lord Jesus Christ. That we have to have blind faith. It was blind landing.
Right.
And it's, you know, we were just in our Bible study, our weekly Bible study, talking about how our faith is really not as much about us as it tells about the object of our faith. Mm. Like, if I sit down in this chair, it's not because I believe in myself, it's because I believe the chair will hold me. And And so it's about the object of my faith. What's my true thought process about the object of my faith? And, you know, in that moment, the object of my faith was, of course, the Lord and also the pilot. Mm-hmm. And it was a very real and tangible analogy mm-hmm. for me to remember how little control I really do have. And I'm looking around. Yes. I'm like, we're in this flying metal cigar. All these people have to have the same time. You walk on with your little carry-on, you roll it up, you throw it in the thing. Like, you believe in the pilot, in the instruments, in the little flying cigar. You believe in those things, right. You know? And we don't think much about it. And the same is true of our faith life. You know, do we or do we not believe that the object of our faith is capable? And in this case, is worthy of us taking off what feels right to ourselves and putting on what he says is right and good and just and reasonable and righteous. And so it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's really been on my mind, is this, the idea of having faith and the object of our faith and really trusting. So there's certainly a measure of that has to be in place for us to, you know, because the truth is, we could read our Bibles our whole lives long and never shed our old selves.
Right.
We can sit in church and never take off our old selves. And it's a faith movement to say, I will lay down myself, be vulnerable, and put on Christ. And it starts in my own heart and my own mind, like you said, Romy. But then we have this vulnerability in the world, because let's be honest, Christians aren't esteemed or valued in the way that maybe they were once in the historical calendar, and certainly in America. And so there's a vulnerability outside these walls, and there's a vulnerability inside my heart. So, yeah, I think for me, I'm aware of the way it exposes me to, you know, vulnerability.
Your faith, I think, in that moment when you had to trust that pilot or trust his instruments. And so that pilot or the instruments became the object of your faith. Mm-hmm. The object of your faith in that moment, I think, was God.
Mm-hmm. Because in my heart, I was trusting, okay, even if it is a brand new pilot, baby pilot up there.
That's a visual.
So even if the instruments aren't trustworthy and the pilot isn't trustworthy, my God is trustworthy. Of course.
Yeah,
but I was really hoping the pilot wasn't an idiot. I'm not going to lie. No reason to stack the deck.
Well, Jesus is the co-pilot.
That's right. Oh, it was scary. I needed to rest after that. I was supposed to go to an evening gathering at the conference, and I was like, nope. Mom, going to the hotel, and I'm putting on my pajamas, and I'll see you in the morning. Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together and with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's word helps me to know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, he instructed them with this command: freely you have received, freely give. We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use in print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported, so if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.